What is up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to be joined by co-host Wes Goldberg in just a minute. He is wandering the streets of San Francisco right now. Just finished up availability with the Warriors. Some interesting things happening today. The speculation is over. Marquese Chris is officially on a two-way. Damian Lee has officially signed a three-year deal with the NBA Golden State Warriors. And we are two quarters of the way through with this season, one half. And we're going to look at the third quarter of the season, what we can expect from the Warriors in this third quarter of the 2019-20 season. It's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, Wes Goldberg joining me in just a minute. It's official. No more speculation. Marquese Chris back on a two-way deal. Damian Lee back on a three-year deal, which I love because it has future benefits. It's not just a guy coming here for 1 year and then, you know, signing with the Lakers, Quinn Cook, or, you know, not going to complain about his contract and, you know, force a way out, Pat McCall. So big deal to get Damian Lee, I think personally, and I love the fact that it's for future years as well because they have a guy who can contribute every single night for the minimum. And that's what a team like the Warriors needs, a team that is maxed out to the luxury tax every single year. They need guys who can contribute on the cheap. So those are both positives. They keep Marquese Chris's rights. That's a positive. And Wes and I are going to talk about that in just a minute. We're also going to talk about what we expect to see out of the Warriors in this third quarter of the season for them. They've already gone through the first two quarters. First quarter was injuries, was Steph getting injured, and then D'Angelo Russell getting injured, Draymond getting injured. Second quarter was trying to find a groove and see what this team could be, see what kind of youngsters they had, whether it was Kai Bowman, Eric Paschal, you know, who was showing up. And now the third quarter, we're going to let you know what that's going to be all about coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. But first, to get fit in 2020, you don't have to join a gym or pay a ton for overpriced fitness equipment. The best way to get in the best shape of your life is with Echelon. Go to echelonfit.com to discover their EX1 connected fitness bikes that offer a high quality at home cycling experience at less than half of the price of a Peloton. Echelon makes beautifully engineered products for everyone, busy moms and dads, first responders, and elite athletes, whatever your activity level. I am definitely on that elite athlete level. And with daily live and on demand studio classes right in your home, you'll never have to step foot in a gym again. You get to do it at the house, not in front of a bunch of people watching you. You'll love Echelon, but if you aren't 100% satisfied, we will give you your money back. Join the hundreds of thousands of men and women who are getting fit with Echelon. Don't pay a ton for a Peloton. Buy an Echelon bike today for under $1,000. Go to echelonfit.com/LONBA to learn about their limited time offer, free Apple iPad, and complete details of this exclusive offer. Echelon, it is your time. That is echelonfit.com/LONBA. echelonfit.com/LONBA. Wes, what's happening, man? You were obviously at the facility today where the news broke, or I guess it broke last night, about Marquese Chris officially signing the two-way deal. I definitely made sure to not say it was official yesterday, because until the pen hits paper, you never know what can happen, but it's official. He is back with the Warriors on the two-way deal, and then we just got news a couple hours ago that Damian Lee has officially signed his NBA contract with the Warriors. All the speculation's over. It's done. They're both back with the Warriors. You know, you were there. What can you tell us about just the scene today, getting those two guys back?
Well, Damian Lee talked with the media for the first time since he was basically put on ice because his two-day contract had expired. And Marquese Chris wasn't at the facility. We'll get to the reason why that is, I guess, a little bit later. But Damian in particular, look, this has been like a really long road for him. He he's been dealing with injuries that have derailed his career throughout his entire basketball playing career. I mean, two injuries at Drexel ended his seasons early. He transferred to Louisville. He wasn't caught up in the scandal, but just happened to sort of pass through as that scandal with Pitino was happening, and got to the NBA and had another, just kept getting plagued by injuries. And this has been a really long time for a player who's 27 years old at an age where most guys are just sort of entering their prime. He's really just starting to blossom right now and kind of figure out who he is and where he belongs in the NBA. And where he belongs in the NBA is on a 15-man roster. And this time last year, we couldn't have said that for sure, right? And so he's put a lot of work into this. His shooting, his rebounding, his overall basketball field, and just like matureness on the court have been assets to the Warriors this season. And he's done enough to show them like he belongs on the roster, on the 15-man roster, not only this season, but in the coming seasons as well. He's going to sign a three-year he signed a three-year contract, partial guarantees, next year and the year after. And he's hoping now that with this contract under his belt that he'll be able to turn this into another contract and maybe another contract and a long NBA career.
Definitely. And I believe he should have been on a 15-man to open this season. I thought he proved a lot last year. And then obviously during his time on the two-way contract this year, you know, left zero doubt that he should be on a 15-man roster. I have to wonder, and it's all speculation, who knows, if the fact that he's Steph Curry's brother-in-law playing on Steph Curry's team, if that didn't maybe hurt his evaluation from other teams, you know, thinking that it was keep it in the family sort of deal or something like that. Just the way he's played, I'm surprised in a league where, you know, 3-and-D wings are as valued as they are that this guy couldn't find a spot on a 15-man roster.
I think people in front offices talk a lot like people like us talk on these podcasts and in casual conversation at bars and things like that. Of course that comes up in casual conversation. Of course it comes up when you're evaluating a player. Damian Lee, like so many guys, he's not small, but he's not huge. He's not long. Like, his size is not necessarily an asset. Like, his three-point shooting is fine. It's not great. Like, there's really nothing that jumps off the page with him on paper, right? So, other than the fact that he married Sadell Curry and he's part of the Curry family now. And I think that a lot of people were just not only overlooking him this summer when he was a free agent, but maybe did count that against them. I think that's absolutely an appropriate thing to wonder. But in Golden State, he re-signed. He was familiar with the team. He found a comfort zone, and I think that helped him too, no doubt. And today, speaking of his family, I mean, he got emotional, like visibly emotional, talking with us in the scrum about how, like, this was such a big deal, not only for him, but for his family. And another reporter asked, when you say family, do you mean the Currys? He's like, no, like, I don't mean the Currys. I mean, Lees. Like, the family I grew up with. I remember, the Lees. Yeah, like growing up and having to share a room with my mom and my cousin and my other two cousins sharing another room. And that was just sort of it. And going from that to a low major program like Drexel, which he takes a lot of pride in, and climbing out of that and getting to the NBA and taking literally the most fringe type of opportunity and turning it into a contract. He said it hadn't hit him when we first sort of asked him about it, but I kind of got the sense, like, the more we made him think about it with all of our prodding questions, the more he started to think about it and the more maybe it started to sink in, and he was visibly emotional by the end of the interview.
Yeah. I mean, I remember last year he had a nice game, knocked down probably four or five threes or something and got the post game interview, and Mike Brown comes up joking around like, you know, all those Curry boys can shoot. And he said, no, I'm a Lee. I'm Damian Lee. And I mean, it's probably something he had to overcome, like we said, with front offices and the way they look at it, and just day to day. He wants to be Damian Lee. He doesn't want to be Steph and Seth's brother-in-law. But one of the reasons why I bring up, you know, the rosters and stuff like that and him not being able to make it is I always look at the Houston Rockets for some reason, because they are the 3-and-D team, basically. They have James Harden, Russell Westbrook, some centers, and then everyone else is a 3-and-D guy pretty much. And I see a guy like Ben McLemore getting another shot, and good for him, for trying to revive his career. But, you know, I'm sorry, I'd rather have Damian Lee over Ben McLemore. So it's just one of those things in the NBA that it happens how it happens. There's, you know, people doing favors for other people, GMs doing, it's just weird. I'm surprised he wasn't already on a roster. And I think it's a major bonus for the Warriors that they're getting him for a technically 3-year deal. One of the years is this year, obviously. So they have him 2 more years right after this year. And I think these are some of the first steps we're seeing of them capitalizing on this down year that they're having, where, okay, well, we've identified Damian Lee. We have him locked up for 2 more years at the minimum salary. Like, they could have a rotation player every night for the next 2 years at the minimum salary. And I think that's one of the first steps to, you know, maximizing this year.
And let's not pretend here either that, like, Damian Lee is the same player this year as he was last year. I mean, I had a long conversation about him and just where he's improved. And he went to the training staff at the end of last season and said, I don't want to be on a two-way contract again. Like, make me an NBA player. What can you do to help me? And so they got – I mean, he was coming out – like, a lot, we tend to forget. He was coming off of a plantar fascia situation at the beginning of last season. It kind of derailed his entire year on that two-way contract. He was never able to really get into the playing type of shape that he wanted to. And this summer, he got into the weight room. He was going in the weight room lifting 6 days a week. He completely eliminated carbs from his diet for 4 months. He got into the best playing shape of his career, which, by the way, the carb thing was a really big deal for him. He made sure to let me know that. Like, he had to give up French fries, which is his favorite food, and he had to replace French fries with cauliflower, which he told me he never ate before this summer. So, I mean, anybody who's, like, replacing French fries for cauliflower, and this is not like $1 million salary.
I can't go 4 hours without a carb, much less 4 months.
Exactly. So it was like a big deal for him. And, you know, given that the Curry is like the cook, and I can't imagine that was any easier. So, he put the work in this summer. He got into the lowest body fat percentage since Louisville, since college. He found what his ideal playing weight and body fat percentage was, and he told me specifically 6 to 7% body fat, 212 pounds overall. He's like, that's where I need to be all the time. And to dial in your body that way and understand your body that way is remarkable. And to be able to keep it that way and then also work on your game and fine-tune, you know, some of the other things of your game. I mean, that's what got him to this level, because we saw him go out and grab 15 rebounds on Christmas Day. We saw him, running up and down the floor and always keeping the pace up, which I know Steve Kerr, like, that's something he appreciates about Damian Lee, is his ability to push the pace, his ability to anticipate and go grab rebounds. He couldn't do all of that stuff in the conditioning that he was last year. So being able to get conditioned and do that stuff this year helped him land this roster spot.
And then, of course, Marquese Chriss being the other domino in this situation. He has signed his two-way deal. And you mentioned he wasn't at the facility today, and it's pretty obvious as to why, but go ahead and tell us why.
Oh, sure.
He wasn't there, and we'll be seeing him mostly on game days.
Right, I mean, because he signed a two-way contract in the middle of the year, he doesn't get the full allotment of 45 days. Rather, it's prorated, and they're telling us 24 days. We were anticipating 23 days. They're telling us this morning that it's 24 days on his two-way contract. So one extra day there, not bad. But that would otherwise just take him into the middle of February, which really doesn't do him a whole lot of good. We're already in the middle of January. But if you sit him out of practices, well, now he's not using any of his NBA days. And that should get him, if you look at the schedule, right through the middle of March, and at which point they should be able to use the remainder that they have under the hard cap, which after everything is right about $390,000. They should be able to promote him back to that open roster spot, to the 15-man roster under the prorated minimum. And I think that's what the plan is right now. So the tough part about that is, okay, yeah, all that makes sense. You just hold him out of practices. He plays on game days, no big deal. Well, this team has been practicing a lot.
Yeah.
And for Marquese, the 22-year-old who is just really kind of coming into his own right now, he needs practice. Like, he is by no means a finished product. So that's going to be another tough thing. It's great that they got him back. They really wanted him back. And I'm sure they're really happy about it. But I'm also sure that they're just like, geez, like, now I have to deal with this other thing because of the hard cap, basically. Like, well, this guy can't even practice with us. He's going to go through shoot-arounds, and then he's going to play on game days. And he'll practice. He'll get in work independently on those off days. It's not like he's just going to be sitting on his couch playing Call of Duty, but he will be. It will be a little bit of a hurdle. So it'll be something to watch, right? Because you'll have to see him on the court. And okay, well, how's this feel coming? Is he getting the finer points of the offense? Does he look a little bit rusty? Does he look a little bit out of place? What kind of minutes is he going to get? Because I can't imagine he's going to be a starter. having not practiced. I mean, where does he end up in the center rotation? Is he behind guys who are practicing, like Amari Spellman and Willie Cauley-Stein? So just something to look at.
Yeah, it's they're not going to be able to maximize his development, but they are can he be able to keep his rights and keep him with the team. So it's you know, one or the other, and so it's better to have him than to not. But exactly, they won't be able to maximize his development since he won't be able to practice. We are two quarters through the season, or one half through the season, and I want to ask you, Wes, about what we can expect in the third quarter of the season. We're going to do that in just a minute. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather, landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. It's a one-of-a-kind spring training experience. You can follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix within 50 miles. You can hit up every single stadium. You get to meet the players, get their autographs before games. I mean, honestly, it's one of the best experiences you can have if you're a baseball fan. It's similar to Summer League for NBA. You're out there schmoozing with the baseball players. You're bumping into them at restaurants and bars. You're having casual conversations with these guys. It is awesome. I can't urge you enough, if you're a baseball fan, to go see. Check out my A's. Go bump into Matt Chapp and tell him I said what's up. There's tons to see and do outside of baseball. You can check out amazing restaurants and bars, tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angels, Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Tons of live music and national sports. You can explore museums featuring everything from Native heritage to modern art, musical instruments from around the world. Arizona is also known for its incredible landscapes, thrilling outdoor adventures. Hit the road, explore Arizona's urban centers, ghost towns, artsy communities, and quirky outposts. Then get back for a baseball game. There's hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, jet skiing, or just taking in the sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. You can check off must-see destinations from your bucket list, like the Grand Canyon, Monument Valley, Horseshoe Bend, and Tucson. Bring the kids along to spring training. Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for the kids of all ages, water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. Arizona has tons of stuff for kids to do and see, like wildlife parks, science museums, aquariums, and dude ranches. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/spring training. That is visitarizona.com/spring training. Wes, we are halfway through the NBA season, or like I like to put it, two quarters. We'll break it down into four quarters, just like an NBA game. And especially for this Warriors team, it makes more sense to break it down into four quarters because of the things we are seeing happen right now. You know, we talked about after the first quarter of the season what we thought we might see, and we knew there was going to be some roster movement. We knew Damian Lee was eventually going to be brought up to the main roster. So in this third quarter coming up, it's another, what, 12 games or so, 12, 13 games, something like that. Or no, it's more than that. I'm tripping. It's like 20-some games. But yeah. What are you expecting to see in that time frame that includes the trade deadline, includes Steph's medical reevaluation, and, you know, in about 20 more games? What are you looking at?
Well, right now I'm looking at a car going in reverse on the street of San Francisco, in case our listeners are wondering why there's so much ambient noise. So I could be a witness of an interesting car crash here. But
sweet.
What I'm looking for the second for this third quarter of the season, as you put it, I think, like, number one, the trade deadline coming up, right? It's the Warriors right now. Yeah, they just promoted Damian Lee. They brought back Marquise Chris and stuff. But there is a subtle numbers crunch kind of developing right now, especially on the perimeter. There's just too many guys. They've got nine players who, if they all came back next year, should be part of the rotation. Maybe eight players that should be part of the rotation. Certainly nine players who expect to be part of the rotation. And a normal NBA team does about five or six guys. And with this roster, I would expect probably five guys during the night-to-night rotation. So that's three to four guys being kind of counted out there. So they've got to make a decision, right, on who those five guys are. And we already know three of them. We know three of them are going to be Steph, D'Angelo, and Clay. And so that doesn't leave a whole lot of room for guys like Damian Lee, Alec Burks, Glenn Robinson, Jordan Poole, Jacob Evans, all this stuff. And it does seem to me like this next part of the season, not only do they need to figure out who they think is going to emerge out of that group, but who can help, who best fits alongside those three guys, those three key starters there. So that's definitely something that I'm going to be watching for. I don't know the answer to that. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that. I think we have some ideas who fits out, right? But I think we also understand that Alec is going to be a free agent. Glenn is going to be a free agent. And when they get to this trade deadline on February 6th, if they have any semblance of what they think that they are going to be able to do or who they're going to be able to bring back, they probably should trade one of those guys for assets as opposed to just letting them walk away for nothing. You know, I think Glenn Robinson would be a great fit next year, but there's no guarantee that the Warriors can bring him back at the salary that they're able to offer. Same goes for Alec Burks. I think we've kind of been assuming that they should just trade him, but, I mean, the Warriors have been missing a guy off the bench like Alec Burks for years now. I mean, he would be a good fit next year for this team. I think we kind of overlooked that and just assuming that they should trade him. That said, I think they probably should trade him because I don't think they're going to be able to afford him this summer. So I think that's one way that they could really make the most of this next quarter of the season, specifically at the trade deadline.
I mean, you know, the toughest part is the guys who would most likely fit best next season, Glenn Robinson, Alec Burks, are the guys who are free agents and the guys you want or, you know, maybe, I don't know about want to get rid of, but would be willing to get rid of, like Jacob Evans and, you know, Jordan Poole maybe have the guaranteed contracts for next year. And so you're just in a spot where if you can get assets for some of these guys that are going to be free agents, you kind of have to. And one of the interesting things I'm looking at is if they do end up moving, say, Willie Cauley-Stein, then you're opening up another need in the offseason. And are they willing to do that? You know, it'll be interesting to see. Either way, you know, you know how I am about Willie Cauley-Stein. I'm up and down on him. So either way, I think they'll be fine. But if they do move him, it's an open center spot. So
as far as things too is like they need, they're not going to just trade them just to trade these guys, right? They're going to want to see some real value back. And so they haven't, like, they've been taking phone calls on Glenn Robinson and Alec Burks, if we believe the reports that have been out there. And if, you know, if they're taking phone calls, ostensibly they're also getting offers, right? Or some sort of conversation about what it would take to get rid of them. And they probably aren't seeing the kind of offers that they want. So they do value these guys to a certain point where they're not going to just give them away for just anything, right? They would rather just take their chances in free agency with these guys. So if they can get a high second round pick or even like a low first, which I doubt for either of those people, maybe that's when you see something start to materialize.
Yeah, we'll see. Interested to see what happens with the Steph evaluation, but I still don't expect to see him until the fourth quarter of this season, so to speak. So, you know, we'll get the evaluation, we'll get the update, but still don't expect to see him playing until probably March, honestly. And that's just me. I have no idea. You know, I only play a doctor on a podcast, so I don't know. But Wes, go ahead, finish your walk in the streets of San Francisco. Don't get run over. And I'll talk to you tomorrow, man. And talk to the rest of you tomorrow as well here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.